Hey there, welcome to Trans Experience. Today we have a very special episode for you. This is Madison.
This is Tayden.
And this is Selgi, and we're grateful to have Ms. Deb. She's with the Church of Palms. And where is that church located again?
Sun City, Arizona.
Nice. We are so glad to have you here.
Yes.
Could you please tell our listeners what we have cooking for the upcoming month for Trans Remembrance?
Okay. Well, first, I want to thank you very much for having me here. I'm very excited to be here and to be able to share in this experience. It's Church of the Palms in Sun City. Is a very open and affirming church. And we will be having the Transgender Day of Remembrance on November 9th. Mm-hmm. And we're so very excited to have you speaking,
LG.
I'm so excited about that.
I'm super excited. Madison's going to be a part of it, too. Yes. And we are so grateful for the experience. We're honored that you don't even ask us to do it. It's always nice to be asked to be a part of the community. Mm-hmm. But I would like to know, like, what makes you want to help? What makes you an ally to us?
Well, I would have to say the thing that really just stepped me in, pushed me into the whole experience is my daughter. Came out as transgender when she was 24. So I, had all my life thought I had had a boy, and I was wrong.
Surprise.
Surprise. I am a girl. So at 24, it was kind of shocking. And so I immediately dove into getting books, getting as much information as I could. I actually went to a Pride Festival before my daughter. She thinks that's funny.
That is funny.
Premonition.
Is funny. Yeah.
It was meant to be.
I said, I got to go. I got to check this out. I bought her a bracelet, a trans-colored bracelet. Oh. Brought it back home. But in just, checking into, I had known about the LGBTQ plus community. I had been supportive. And not as actively as I should have been, I have to admit. But when I, just really started finding out more, talking to my daughter, and then the big thing was I became a Mama Dragon. Mm-hmm. The Mama Dragons is now over 11,000 strong and is throughout the whole world. And they are there to support other moms of LGBTQ plus children. So my questions were answered. I found out other people's experiences and they shared how their children, how everybody has a different experience, just like anybody.
Yeah.
But I just found that I was really saddened and angered by the hate that's out there. And I just thought, I've got to do something. Yeah. So I have to see, I came in with a little bit of fear, having a very Christian background that was, this is not right. And then just really coming out of that and saying, no, God loves us all.
Yeah.
And I came to this, I came to another church first and found out that allies are really important.
Amen to that.
Yeah, we need to all come together as a community.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go.
I know that you do a lot with Mama Dragon, and I know the support that you give to other women, to other parents, and not just to the parents, but also the kids, the children, that are coming out as trans, and that's quite the challenge. But what was your reaction when your daughter came up to you and told you, "I'm trans"? Why do you find the need to support the causes? Like, what is it that triggered that in you?
So when my daughter first came out as trans, I literally went into shock. I had no really signs. She was engaged to a female, and we were getting ready to be planning this wedding, and I was all excited, and they'd been together for like a couple years, and so all of a sudden I was like, wait, what? And again, I really was naive. And I still have a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. I still have a lot to learn because just like any people, we're all very different. Everybody has different experiences. So anyway, with her, she was really good about answering a lot of my questions. As a mom, I've always been close to my daughter. I homeschooled her, and so I had all kinds of crazy questions for her. Mm-hmm. She just answered them. So, and then from that experience, I walked around. I literally cried out, God, what do I do? what do you want me to do? And I clearly heard, love him. Now, at the time, you have to remember, God speaks this to us where we are.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so if God had said her at the time, I would have been like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And so I really feel that God spoke to me where I was. And I was like, okay, I can do that. That I'm already doing. I can do that. And as I read more, like I said, and I actually went to a pastor in one of the churches I attended, and I'm not going to even tell you the response I got from him. Mm-hmm. And I walked away from that church, and I thought, we need to do better.
Amen yeah. to that.
And I think that's what I love so much about the Church of the Palms in Sun City is they are very open and affirming. I mean, we have an interfaith chapel on site, so people of different faiths are welcome. Yeah. People of different genders are welcome. People of different color are welcome. Anybody who wants to come and who wants to learn about God or, you know, fellowship yeah. with other people, support, you know.
You know, I wish my mom had found a church like that before she passed, almost a year now. But she and I didn't have a rosy reunion when I finally came out. She didn't understand it, didn't like it, and wasn't going to have it. I was uninvited to Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2019.
Aww.
And she said one day, though, that when she passed, though, her and I were closer than we'd ever been in our lives. Aww. But she had said that, mm-hmm. and early on, that she was driving to Globe one day where we're from. And there's a part in the trip to Globe called Gonzales Pass. There's no service. So there's no radio, there's no phone, whatever. And she said it was in that moment that when she was driving through Gonzales Pass, and mind you, my mother was a terrible driver. She drove very slow. So Gonzales Pass is like a 20-minute part of it. She spends an hour in there. I don't know how. But anyways, she said that it was in that moment that she was unhappy with my choice, right? Because this was still a choice to her. And that, and I lost my father in 2007. And she said that she felt God and my father, and they said, Georgia, you have to love this child. Too many years have gone by that you have not loved him, but you need to love her.
Aww.
And that was a turning moment for us. Wow. You know, that's when she became not a mama dragon, but she wanted to know more. She wanted to ask the questions, you know. And I think that for a lot of girls that we're going to be speaking to on this day of remembrance, a lot of these boys and girls don't always have that support. You know what I mean?
Right,
so to
right.
you, like, that's important, you know? And right. the fact that your daughter is so willing to share this journey with you is so special, because I had that for 4 years. Right. And I've been transitioning for about 4 or 5 years. And so I had that for 4 years. And it was monumental in building the woman I am today, you know? And
yeah.
I think that these names that we're going to be mentioning and talking about at this Trans Day of Remembrance didn't have a lot of that. You know, and I think that that's so unfortunate in today's world. Like you were saying, we need to bring it together.
Right.
You know, you don't have to understand it. You don't even have to like it. Right. But these are right. the children. Right. And so, like, my mom is one of those. Like, she's going to give you a mom hug every time. Right. She may not even like you, mm-hmm. you know, but she's going to do that because she knows how many don't get that. Mm-hmm. You
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So it's so important.
You know what's crazy? I like what you said, because it's like, just hearing you and how you are with your daughter. With my mother right now, I don't know if you remember her. I brought her to the thing, too.
Yeah, you did.
Like, she actually is, she's trying to become more open about the situation. I mean, she already is. She calls me daughter. She does all the good stuff that she, what you would expect. But, growing up, when I was, 16, 17, it kind of was different. And now I can say that our relationship has gotten to the point where it's like, oh, and I can tell my mom I humped Larry, Mary, and Joe, and they're okay, you know? And she's okay, and she loves
bro.
That.
And she's going for the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
I can't with her.
And then, so it's like, and when you, how you're saying it, it just brings me joy, because it's like, and hearing Madison, it's just like, it puts me in a position, and it's like, and I'm at awe, you know? Like, I love the fact that, like, hearing you talk about, like, mama dragons and stuff, like, I never heard about that before. And it puts a new chapter, or, like, opens up another door for me to to investigate. Not like making it sound bad, but I want to understand what that is, because it's like my mother and I's relationship as far as me coming out, becoming trans, and, you know, not doing it in front of her. And like I've told you guys before, me coming out in my transitioning, my mom did ask me one thing not to do, and that was change my name.
Yeah.
You know, so she don't care about me being who I am. She don't care what I've did with my body, but all she does is like, please just don't change your name. You know, like you can be whoever you want to be, but just give me that respect in keeping your name. So, you know, like I do everywhere I go, and it gives me joy when I go to places, and, you know, because it gives that sense of entitlement of background to understand that I do have my mom's support, and I have it, and it's what I need today. It's what I've been longing for. Yeah. And I see that with you, with your daughter, and I know how happy probably she is, because it just brings me joy to understand that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that it goes back to the importance of having that support, you know, like from family, especially for, you know, with your mother. I know that the relationship that I have with my mom today, it's distant, and for her it's still something difficult to accept. But I don't doubt that she loves me. Like, I know she loves me, right. And I will always know that in my heart.
Yeah.
So I give her space, but it's quite important to have organizations such as that, where individuals that don't have the support from their mom can find the support of, you know, mother figures that can actually help them and give them the support that they might need. With this said, I would like for you to give us a little bit more of a background as to the Church of Palms. And, for example, right now you're the one that is in charge of
Transgender Day of Remembrance. Yeah, just I'm in the committee.
Okay.
We have Georgia handles our LGBTQ+ ministry.
Okay.
And she's actually the one that started it. And so from them, we reach out and do different things. Like, we'll be at the Pride Parade this next week. Our church will be there in the parade. And then we had Open Affirming Sunday. So we had somebody had that. And so this one was close to my heart. But can I just step back for a minute? Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah,
of course, definitely.
Because all of you had said the support that your mom has. And I feel like I've always supported my daughter.
Yeah.
But in all fairness, when she first came out, I literally went into shock. When I say went into shock, I literally went into shock. I just was like, wait, what just happened? And like I said, we asked questions and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But she did not feel supported for, I think, about a week. I think it was about a week. And because I had so much, unfortunately, with this very closed Christian background, I had a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of, you know, like I said, I cried out to God, what am I going to do? What do I do? Where do I go from here? I mean, here's, you know, yesterday I had a 24-year-old boy who was getting married, and we were looking at wedding, you know, thing. I mean, thinking about a date. They were just kind of that far.
Yeah.
And then today I have a daughter. And now we're looking at, I might get to sew two dresses. That was the plus side. Which literally, I think that's why she told me. I finally said, why now? Why'd you tell me now? I said, I know why. Because you're going to be wearing a dress at your wedding.
Yep.
And she said, yes. So,
I love that.
So at the beginning, and I think it's kind of important that people know that sometimes when a parent maybe doesn't react initially very well, that they can come around. Like for me, I loved her and I supported her, but she didn't feel that.
Yeah.
For that first week, because I didn't know what to do with that.
Can I ask a personal question? Maybe it might be a little too rough. But like, when she did come out, how did you handle it at that moment? Besides like not like understanding her, or you like just more of, were you angry, or like kind of like what was the feelings?
Okay, we'll get real here.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, I just.
She came out, okay, let's do it. Like, mom, I'm trans. Your response.
Yeah.
I said, like as in transgender? And she said, yeah. And I said, but, like, what does that mean? Because we had actually had a conversation about somebody famous that.
Caitlyn Jenner?
Yes.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
He wasn't Malvini.
No. And we had a whole conversation, but it was like months before. So I was like, you mean like that? And she said, yeah. I said, okay, but are you still getting married? And she said, yeah. Now, her...
Priorities.
Okay.
Her fiancé was sitting there, too. She was with us. So I asked some very personal questions that I think my...
you don't have to repeat those.
No, we won't. My future daughter-in-law just kind of looked at me. But my daughter just answered my questions because, like I said, we've been close. But, and in all honesty, we're going to get real here, and this is probably something that later I'll be like, why did I even say that? because I was just like, I literally in shock, and I was sad. And I think there's a part of me, as a mom, we have dreams for our children.
Yes.
And that's what I think some people don't always understand is that a lot of that sadness originally is from the dreams. You know, I picture, okay, my son's going to get married, and he's going to have kids, and I'm going to be grandma, and I was already grandma. But, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, am I going to have children? Are you still getting married? There's just things change. And I actually have four children, and I had pictures of all my children on the wall, and I walked by, and I was sad. Mm-hmm. So, and I feel bad about this, but I took all my family pictures off the wall. And later, I said to my daughter, you know, I took all the pictures down because I didn't want you to feel left out. Mm-hmm. And she said, I know, Mom. I said, it made me sad to see that smiling little face, and now I don't know what's going to happen. And she just said, I know, Mom. She is a wonderful, wonderful person. She just is. So she kind of helped, I would say, kind of bring me along. So originally, yes, I had an embarrassing moment, nothing I'm proud of for sure. And like I said, when it was actually my daughter-in-law, my son's wife, who brought me to Mama Dragon. Mm. She said, Mom, I found this for you. Will this help?
Mm. Yeah.
And at first I was like, I don't know, I'm not ready yet. And then I found out they give mom hugs.
Oh.
Yep.
And so I wanted to go, but they weren't doing them in my state.
Thank you. Thank you for being vulnerable. That just was very appreciated because it gives me more insight, like how to, you know, just be more open-minded with my mom and, you know, letting your mom be able to take it in how she wants.
My mom had to remind me that it is not I'm not the only one transitioning, right?
Right.
I am not the only one. My brother had to transition with me. My sister had to transition with me. My baby brother had to transition with me. My grandparents had to. You know, it is a family effort even if you don't have the support, really, because they feel that they are losing something. And that's a very valid feeling, right?
Yeah,
especially, I'm the oldest, so I don't know where your daughter is in the birth order, but I'm the oldest, and I was the oldest boy, and I came with a lot of expectations, you know? And so when I started at, like, 13 acting out, and my family knew right away that I wasn't going to be the all-star athlete, I wasn't getting the cheerleader pregnant, you know? I mean, those are the goals they had for me as their first boy. I was the first boy for my mom and my dad's family, and I was given my grandfather's name on both sides of my family, you know? And that's pressure, right? And I wasn't going to ever live up to that. What are you laughing?
Oh. Like, getting the cheerleader pregnant. That was an expectation.
I was wondering about that, too.
Sets that expectation for their kids, bro.
Remember, I am from a small town. Like, that's dreaming big, guys.
Hey, as long as dreaming big. At least you didn't say cousin.
That's right.
At least you didn't say cousin.
No, we're not in Arkansas. But...
this ain't Kansas anymore.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? It's a family affair, you know? And some are on board and some aren't. And I think that we as the trans people, I know for me, I can only speak for myself, I didn't take that into account.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't think about, like, what is this going to do to them? Mm-hmm. You know, because you get to a point, at a certain point, and I'm sure that your daughter had this experience too, and this is why she told you when she told you. You know, you get to a point where it has to come out. You mm-hmm. can't live like that anymore,
right.
You know? And so to be able to have that strength to say something out loud, you're so focused on your journey that you forget sometimes that there's a journey going on the other side of that table that you're discussing this
right.
at.
Right.
I think it's the St. Patrick's prayer that we say where it says, like, God help me to understand rather than to be understood.
Amen.
And I think that when we come out to our family, like, we're expecting them to, like, you better bring me a tiara the minute I tell you. You know, like
and a princess dress.
You know what I mean? Like yes. And I think that sometimes we, at least for myself, I tend to be pushy, and you need to accept me and like on your face. And I never took into consideration. I never took into consideration how my mom was feeling, how she was grieving the loss of a son. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I never gave her, because to her, the person that I was presenting to her was a stranger. And I wanted her to, I wanted to force her into loving someone she didn't know. Right. You know what I mean? So having that, having her support and being so patient with you made it easy for you to transition, you know, like made it easy for you to accept it. And, but at the end of the day, like, you chose to search for help,
yeah.
You know, and you chose to reach out. And I would like to encourage to all of our listeners, if you have a daughter or son, you know, that is transitioning, that is, you know, educate yourselves. Go ahead and ask the questions that you don't want to ask.
I say it all the time. The questions you're not asking are the ones that we need to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know. I love it when you say that.
Yeah. And, it's true, though.
And we just need for you guys to understand that we're just human. Like Maddie always says, the trans experience is a human experience.
I
you
love
know,
that.
And yeah. If you get to know us, like, I think it has to be a team effort, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It cannot just go one way. And if for myself, like, I'll come into acceptance of the people that are willing to work with me, you know, within my family, like, the only one that's left out at this point is my mom. Mm-hmm. But I know that if I reach out to her in need or anything, like, I know she's there.
Yeah.
But she needs her time for her to to deal with whatever it is that she's
her journey. It's her journey.
Exactly, her journey. So do you mind telling us a little bit of what we're going to be doing at the event?
Oh, no, that's fine. I was going to say, do you always say something? Can I say something?
Yeah, of course.
Finish. We invited you to talk, girl. We need you to. Like, we want you to talk to us.
I'm the little left-turn, right-turn person here.
Yes.
The thing, what you said is so true, that I actually, at one point, I just remember I was doing some clothes, and there's a whole situation that happened. I'm not going to go into it. And so my daughter came in, and she was like, Mom, it's my fault. And I'm like, why? And she's like, well, I was talking to my cousin. Papa. Anyway. And I said, honey, I said, you've got to understand, I need to grieve the loss of my son at the same time that I'm celebrating the birth of my daughter at the same time. You know, and she kind of was like, oh, wow. You know, it kind of, you know, hit her. I said, I love you so very much, but there's loss I have to deal with.
Uh-huh.
And it keeps for, it's been 6 years now. And so it's much better now.
Yeah.
But every now and then something will come up. Like she also had my husband's name, which was his dad's name.
Yeah.
And has chosen not to keep any of it. And she knows that we wish she would.
I don't know about her, but it was a hard choice. It was a very hard choice because I knew the power that I was given with these names.
Right.
These men that were revered. Mm-hmm. Great men. One of them I still have with me. But great men.
Right.
And I felt like I was just disrespecting it in a way.
Yes.
So, I mean, I can't speak for her, but I get that. For you as a mother, you know, because my mom and I went through that together.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to cover that. And just going back over to both Church of the Palms and Mama Dragons are places where I could grow, where it was okay to grieve loss and then to be supportive and loving of who she is. You know, Mama Dragons was a place where moms come in and they can kind of grieve, and other moms say, yeah, we've been there, we've done that. This is where you do it. Don't do this with your child.
Mm-hmm.
Do this here.
Wow, and powerful.
And then...
I love it because I just gave her a look like mama, you know, like, and she's like, oops, my hands.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, that's where, you know, I learned to kind of grow, and that's normal, and then just move through it and move on. And going back to your question, the Church of the Palms, I'm like strangely excited because it is a solemn event.
Mm-hmm.
We will be remembering those that have lost their lives to violence.
Yes.
This in 2023.
Yes.
Or maybe it's 22. I'm sorry.
It is 23.
It is 23.
Okay.
And So, and it's because either they were thought to be transgender or they were transgender, and there's, you know, the hatred and the violence. So we want to remember them and kind of do an honor to them. At the same time, I'm really excited that, LG, you're going to be speaking. And
yeah.
and then I just, talking to you just has always been just, I don't know, I love it. And then my daughter's also going to speak, and she's just got so much wisdom, you know, when she speaks, wit and humor and all. And so I'm hoping in both of your speaking that people that come can learn a little bit about the human experience, as you would say, or the trans experience, and get a little more understanding. And then we will have a panel, as all of us will be on that panel, and another mom of a transgender child. And then hopefully people will feel free to ask some of those questions that they don't understand. And if they're not comfortable saying anything out loud, we will have cards so that they can write it down on a card and just hand it in, and nobody has to worry.
And I think that's just brilliant, because there are things that even my own mother, as open as we were together, would have a hard time coming up with, like, how do I say this without saying it properly? And my biggest thing is, you don't have to say it properly. Don't give me the PC version that you want. You know what I mean? The politically correct version. I don't want that. I want what you want to know at the deepest part of you, because we're only going to have interaction for so long, right? Our interaction is going to be 5-10 minutes. And if you don't get the most out of it, and I don't get the most out of it, we're just cheating ourselves, you know? And I think that this event is going to be a great success, because we're all walking with that mindset of, we're here to educate.
Yes.
Right? Amen to that. One of the things that when we all met up to go over the event, one of the things that shocked me was, like, the percentage of trans individuals being, you know, murdered, being violently killed and stuff like that. And a lot of them were from trans women of color.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and that's sad, because we need protection. You know, the way that this election is going, the way that the laws are coming, like taking away certain rights, like, we need these rights. We need to let our voice heard. And I think that one of the important things about this event is not allowing those voices to be silenced, because even though they're no longer here with us, don't let their life experience be a waste. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let's keep them alive and remembering what happens. Imagine this is what's happening now with the rights that we have. Imagine once those rights are taken away, it is important to give our community a voice. It's important for us not to keep silent, and for us to encourage events such as this and churches such as this, because, like, one of the things is, religion or spirituality usually tends to be in conflict with our community, and it doesn't have to be like that.
Right.
You know, and I love the fact that you guys have an open and safe space for us to be able to congregate. And like you said, everyone is welcome. You don't have to be any denomination. Just if you need support, if you're part of the community, come and get that support. Madison, you wanted to say something?
Well, I was going to speak on some of the laws. There is a law in Arizona, which is the panic law, where if their sexual identity and gender are not revealed before anything happens, they are allowed, the person that they're with is allowed to kill them and not suffer any recourse, because they can say, I panicked. They can stand in front of a judge and say, this person, male or female, did not tell me that they were transgendered or gay or whatever, and they're allowed to be murdered, and nothing happens. And it's a law in Arizona that protects them. And all they have to have is a defense saying, I panicked because they didn't tell me. And now the person that didn't quote unquote tell them is now dead. They have no voice.
Oh no, that's
awful. And this is why this is so important to me, because I don't know how many of those people specifically got away with it, but I guarantee in the state of Arizona, there's more than one of those people that were murdered, and their murderer is walking free, because all they had to do is tell a judge, I didn't know, and I panicked. And it's the saddest thing. And that law is a law now. That's not that's not the Project 2025 BS. It is now active and alive and in our world.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and that gives, you know, also responsibility to our community. Here's the thing, girls. We don't need to hide.
No.
You know, we can live our life openly. And if you need support, if you need someone to talk to, our links usually are on our podcast. If you guys need more support, please reach out to the Church of Palms in Sun City. I'm sorry, I'm from Cali. I'm still getting to know them.
I love it.
But, you know, like there's places that can support you. There's also Church of Hope.
Yeah,
you know, there's also what's the name of the other one? The one that is by 3rd Street, by 3rd Avenue? Community Church of Hope. And we have the other one, UCC Church. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's places where you can go, and we'll try to put some links where you can actually find the support that you need.
I just want to say that when we walked into Church of the Palms for the first time, the overwhelming love from the front door was everything, because I grew up in a church. My family was asked to leave that church because of me, right? And so there's church trauma. Church trauma is a real thing.
Yes.
I've worked through a lot of it. But being able to walk in and immediately feel the welcome, the embrace, not just physical, but emotional and spiritual too. You know, I think as trans people, right. I know for me, like, we struggle with spiritual connections. Thanks to recovery, I found one, you know, but I don't know if I would have found one without recovery, you know?
Right.
And so, like, now I can have a beautiful walk with God. But going into that church, there was this overwhelming sensation of just love, acceptance, warmth that I hadn't felt in a long time, you know? So I just want to say thank you to the church for that, because not many of them do that.
Right. But the thing is, God does love you.
Yes.
God loves each of you.
But not every messenger of God understands that.
I know.
Amen to that. And they gave us treats, too. They had sweets. They had coffee.
We ate.
Yep. I know I did. Shoot.
We even bought some of their merchandise, the quilts. My mom had bought one of the aprons with
the
lizard on there.
Oh, right.
Actually, lizard is my last name where I come from. Oh. So that's why my mom bought it. She was like, I want it. And then there was like this other like quilt thing. It was like the letter S. And so I got it because S is like the first initial of my Hopi name. So I was like, I'm gonna get this. So we just you know, it was cute. Loved it.
That's our sewing group.
Yeah.
They love to sew stuff and they sell, and then they donate the money to different causes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I love about our allies is that, Maddie, you said it best that day that we were
the allies are the movers of the movement. I think that, you know, we can be there. We can be the face of it, and we're the ones that get the benefit of it. But the allies, they are the ones that move the movement. They're the ones that get to be in these rooms that we're not allowed to be in. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that these people speak up on our behalf when we're not allowed to be in that room, in a perfect world, we would be allowed to be in the room, but we're not. Let's be clear, right? You, Deb, are going to be allowed in more rooms than I ever will. And you being an ally, I know that when you walk into that room, you're going to speak up for us. You know what I mean? And and that's why I think that those are so important, those voices that are there. Because without them, we would have no movement. We would just be a mint.
Exactly. So I want to thank to every single ally that we have. You guys make it easier. And you guys give us a voice to the places that we cannot enter. So we just want to appreciate you guys. Take the time to say thank you for doing those things. Because really, they don't have to. They choose to.
Yeah.
It's like they choose to be a part of our lives, a part of our support group. And it's really appreciated because it changes legislations. It changes the environment. And it gives place for a safe environment for individuals such as us and for anyone from the community to feel safe and embraced and supported and worth it.
Amen.
You know, so thank you for that, Deborah. And I wanted to ask you, like, do you know the address of the church?
I have it over there. Can I get it?
She has it over there. It's like 4 miles where she said,
Yeah,
go ahead and get it, girl. We want that info.
Yeah, we want
to tell our listeners exactly where we're going to go. And it's so cute. She has a headphone, so she's all trying to, like, sideways because it's not wireless.
I love that.
Yes, you can, Mama. You're some Mama Dragon. You can do anything.
You're right. And, you know, I want to say that you said that as allies, you know, that we stand up for you and fight and such, and that you get the benefit. We get the benefit, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because we get to know you.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, if we don't speak up for you mm-hmm. and have a safe place for you to be, mm-hmm. then I don't get to know you. You yeah. will either hide or worse, yeah. right? So yeah. I just have to say that because absolutely. I just really feel like, you know, when I started out, I had to know about my daughter. And then I was like, I need to fight. Bless you.
Thank you.
And
bless you.
And at first, I was a little shy about it. I was mm-hmm. nervous. I mean, just like, you know, will I be safe mm. if I go out and say, you know, my daughter's trans? Yeah. Is someone going to bop me over the head? Are they going to go after my daughter?
You have to worry about that, but it's a very real fear.
Right, yeah. right. And so at coming, I do have to say, coming to Church of the Palms and feeling as you did in a welcoming environment, I feel like I can do this. I can step out, and I step out a little more. And every day I wear my rainbow bracelet, mm-hmm. and I wear pins that I don't have on today because I have my
heart collar, though.
I have my heartbeat that has my trans on one side, trans colors, and pride colors on the other yes. side. But I do wear my fidget bracelet that my son and daughter-in-law got me that's rainbow. But I'll wear little pins that say be kind with rainbow colors or I've changed.
Yeah.
I really love that. And I think that one of the things to consider if you're an ally, you never know who in your family, you know, yeah. might come out. You never know when it's going to come to your family. It's creating a safe space for future generations that could be your sons, your daughters, your grandkids, your nephew.
Well, and speaking on that, you don't know who's struggling with this.
Amen to that.
You don't know. My mom was convinced that I was going to spend the rest of my life being a drunk gay male because that's all I knew. That from 14 on, I was just drunk and gay. Like, that's all she knew was that I liked alcohol.
And drunk.
I liked alcohol and I liked men. That was all she knew about me for 25 years, you know, because I was so busy trying to hide it. And so to your point, that you're absolutely right. But it's also who in your family is battling this, you know, mm, and if they see right. you being an ally to others, that opens the door for them to come to you.
Mm. Yeah. Amen to that.
Yes.
So, Ms. Deb, can you tell us where the event is going to be? When? What time?
Yep. So it's at Church of the Palms. And the address is 14808 North Boswell Boulevard in Sun City. The event is on November 9th. It's a Saturday from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And as I think you've already guessed, everyone is welcome. You do not have to be
whoop, whoop.
What?
I say whoop, whoop.
You don't have to be any certain religion. You don't have to have any faith of anything.
Because this is not a service. This is correct. A day of remembrance, right? I think that's important.
Whatever your pronouns are, dog, cat,
we're
frog.
We're not checking your backgrounds. Like, we're not doing any FBI investigation.
But I think it's important for people that listen to our podcast to know it's not a service.
Right.
Because that can be very, very, like church trauma, that can be very fearful for people. A lot of people are not going to go because they don't want to get preached to that day because they're still struggling with their walk with God.
Right.
And we lock the door and repent.
Don't do that.
No. I just think it's important.
It's not a trap.
Not everyone's going to walk in feeling right. comfortable in a church. And I think that they need to understand, yes, it's at a church, but it's not a service. We're actually going to be doing a day of remembrance. So.
Yeah. And the only, I would say, out of the whole thing, and we've been really careful to make sure it is secular. Because we want people, we know that there is church trauma. We know that. Mm-hmm. We try to make sure that where we're from, that we can spread out that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But in this particular area, we just want people to come and do the remembrance and maybe learn a little bit more, be able to answer questions, feel in a safe space. The only thing is I think that I'm going to be singing a song, and it does say, "Help us, Lord," in yeah. the song. That's it.
That's fine.
That's it's her way to convert you.
Yeah, that's how she's locking the door and repent. Yeah,
sneaky, sneaky. You're a Christian now.
No. Got him.
Got him. No, but thank you so much, Deb, for being here with us. We really appreciate your input, your information, and what you do for our community.
We'll make sure to all add that information into our notes in our episode, too.
Definitely. Yes. And I would like to know, what will you close us with today? Like, out of all the conversation that we had, like, what's the one thing that you would like to leave our listeners with? And why don't we do this? We start with us, and then we sure. end up with Deb. So, Tay, what did you take away from our conversation today?
I took away from education, or like I got more of an education part. Put your time and effort into understanding people. Educate yourself in any kind of race, walk, ethnicity, creed, whatever it is, to educate yourself on the human experience, to understand everybody's outlook in life, how they live, how they walk, how they talk, you know. And when you need to turn the other eye, just turn your other eye. You don't got to be so malicious, and you know those crazy things. All it takes is a kind word for mm-hmm. somebody to respect you, and mm-hmm. that takes a long way. So, I mean, just live your life for you.
What about you, Maddie?
I think for me, it's a day of remembrance. These are sisters and brothers that we have lost to violent murders. For absolutely no reason other than fear. The person that did this was fearful. And how do you stop fear? Knowledge, right? And so let's give them the knowledge, reaching out to them in a way that is not going to hinder them or scare them. And I think this is the perfect example of how to do that. I think that what we're doing is profound in a way, because especially Black trans women are murdered at a higher rate every day, because they have no protection. And so I think that this is a great way to get the word out that this is a real thing and it does happen. This isn't a figment of our imagination. This isn't some made up number. These are real people with real souls.
Yes.
And they had no reason other than the fear that the other person they were with had with them. And I think we need to educate people.
I totally agree. Excuse me. I totally agree with you. Hairball. Wow.
Purr.
Yeah. No, but for real, it's like what I take away is the importance of giving voice to the silent ones. You know, acknowledging that their existence was not in vain, utilizing them to educate people that we deserve to live. And just because you don't have knowledge of who we are doesn't mean you get to choose whether we live or die. I think that, like you said, that whole law where, you know, panic. No, sometimes you can definitely tell, and you choose to blind yourself because you just have hate in your heart. I think that education not only brings knowledge and safety, but also kindness, compassion. Because here's the thing, like those individuals that you're criticizing today for being trans, gay, or part of the LGBTQ+, or based on their race, cultural background, and all of that, you don't know when that's going to be your family.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody's daughter, there's somebody's son, there's somebody's dad, mother, you know, friend.
Grandchild.
You know, like, they're loved. You know, like, somebody needs those people. And hurting one individual goes beyond just hurting one individual. It trickles down to all of those that are connected to him by blood, by name, or by love. You know what I mean? So be more mindful. Educate yourself. You don't have to accept us. You just have to respect us. The same way that we want to respect you, respect our spaces, and help us to help you to live and to have an environment that is safe for everyone, for every man, for every woman, and for every child.
Amen.
What about you, Ms. Deb?
Well, I think the first thing that I learned here today is you guys are a lot of fun.
Out of all the profound shit that's been said, yeah. That's what we're going to freaking apply for. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And seriously, if I had not had a trans daughter, I think God chose her for me and me for her. If I said this in church, if I had not accepted and loved her like I do and decided to learn more and become an ally, I wouldn't have met you guys.
Amen.
Sorry, you gals. Laugh, guys, yeah. I'm from California. Listen, everybody's guys.
LG calls us bro all the time. Uh-huh. I'm,
that's bro. My, like, a bro. Really, bro? Like, yes.
I don't know. My kids, girls, boys, I just, you know. Come on, guys, let's go. Yeah. Anyway, And so many other people, too, as well, that just are wonderful people, you know, I would not have known. But the other thing I learned was you guys talk about your moms. Mm-hmm. I just really think Mama Dragons is such an important way to support the community, because we all have relationships with our moms in some way. Mm-hmm. And the better relationship we have, I think the better we are, because they're our moms, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a really good relationship with my mom, and then for a while it was rocky and it made it rough, mm-hmm. you know? So that also, I thought about that, of how important. I'm actually the event coordinator for Mama Dragons for Arizona and New Mexico.
Nice.
And try to get the moms together so they can share and talk. And it, so it's nice to hear the other side of how important your relationship with your mom is. So
thank you.
Well, here's an idea for you. Why don't you guys start a podcast?
Yeah. Mama Dragon podcast.
Actually, they have it.
Oh, they do. Tell us about it.
I listened this morning. And in all honesty, Mama Dragons, I learned about them through Facebook, because there's like a whole Facebook group. That's where, you know, the moms can share. We have subgroups. We have moms, T-mamas, so the moms of transgender. They have moms of color. They have moms of special needs children.
So let me get this straight. So Dragon Mom is not just dedicated for the LGBTQ+ community. Okay. It's just supporting moms.
First, I have to say it's Mama Dragons. There isn't something else that's different. So just to clarify, it's important.
Yeah.
Mama Dragons is supporting the moms. And they are self-identified moms. Okay. So there are sometimes there could be a man that feels like, I'm mom. I'm all there is. Yeah. You know, the other ones have deserted the child. Yeah. And I feel like the mom. Wow. There's also a Dragon Dads, too. But... Mm-hmm. It is, because we believe in supporting what we support, educate, and empower other moms. And by doing that, you support the child.
Yes, you do.
Especially, you know, because you have the younger ones and they're like, I have a 4-year-old that says, insists that they're not what I'm seeing and, you know, whatever. So this is a place that moms can come and learn. They have a separate website that we have the, parachute program, so they can, we call it a soft landing for moms.
That's I love so that. Nice.
Yeah, and they have suicide prevention classes as well, so people can go to the mamadragons.org and find information to help them.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. And
well, shout out Mama Dragons. Amen. We really appreciate you guys 1,000-fold for everything you guys put in.
Amen.
I think that it needs to be mentioned, though, that unfortunately for this Trans Day of Remembrance, we're not going to be able to dive into some of the suicide deaths, which I think is an even bigger issue.
Yeah.
I think even we could even do another episode on just that. You know, I think I have no problem pulling the resources together for those, but I think it does need to be mentioned before we leave today that there is still a high rate of suicide amongst trans people.
Yes.
And I think a lot of it with the support resources that you've provided and stuff that we've provided, that there is a way to help that. And if anyone's struggling, you can always dial 988 to get help with mental health right away.
And please do so. You're precious. You're valued. Here's the thing. Yes. Picture this.
1912, Sicily. No.
That's Golden Girls. There will be 100 million individuals after you. There were like 100 billion individuals before you. And this earth will never, ever see another you. That's how valuable and unique you are. You're put onto this earth for a reason. Just because you haven't found purpose doesn't mean that you don't have any. Instead, seek your purpose and give yourself time and grace. We need you on this world. There's a reason for you to be in this world. And with that said, this is LG.
Well, and the beauty of it is that as a trans person, there's two versions of me in this world.
Okay, so
the soul of you is still
that's
you,
right,
girl.
That's right.
Still me.
Everything. Hey, okay. Anyway, sorry. Let's close it out. I'm sorry.
With that said, this is LG.
This is Madison.
This is Taisha.
This is Deb.
Yeah.
This has been the trans experience. Thank you, guys.
We love you.
I did say that, huh?
You did.
I did.
I did.